Blog Talk Radio.
Just for the young. I'd like to thank you once again for tuning in. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 p.m., and we do thank you for tuning in. Amen, amen, amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that you are happy. In spite of everything that's going on, I hope that you are happy in the Lord. Amen. As we move forward, we'd like to let you know that we are an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means you have an opportunity of tuning in when the speaker opens up the mic and you can share what the Lord has placed on your heart, ask a question, or whatever the case may be. But I do would like to ask you, for those of you who are tuning in, I'm hearing noises in the background. Please mute your phone or device, whatever you have. Please mute it so that we will not hear anything in the background. Amen. And when you get ready to talk or share, you can just unmute, and that would be easy for us rather than me muting you on this end. I don't know what kind of noises I'm hearing in the background, but it becomes distracting when the speaker gets on. So please check your phone, ma'am, sir. Please check your phone or device that you're using and mute it until you're getting ready to share. And I'm going to leave all the mics open. So when you unmute it and you have a question, when the speaker opens up the mic, all you have to do is just talk. Amen. That makes it so much simpler for on my end as well as for the speaker. We do thank you for that. As we move forward, once again, we're an interactive Bible study. What does that mean? That means that you have an opportunity of calling in and being a part of this conversation when he opens up the mic. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. Let me say that again in case I said that a little bit too fast. 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you will be a part of this program. Amen, amen, amen. As we also like to let you know that you can go into the archive and you can share this with a family member, friend, so on and so forth. Use it as an evangelism piece. Amen. And when you go into the archive, you go into Blog Talk Radio, and then you would type in We Can Begin Again. That is the URL, We Can Begin Again, and that gives you an opportunity of being able to see all of the speakers, even sharing with our speaker this evening, which I'm anxious to hear. Amen. Bishop Charles Storrs from out of Princeton, West Virginia. We have a prayer on our prayer list. We have a few people that are on, and then the next voice that you're going to hear will be Bishop Charles Storrs from Princeton, West Virginia. Amen, amen, amen. My hometown. We have on our yes.
Father God, we praise your name, dear Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for the people that we are about to pray for, dear Lord. We ask you, Lord, to just bless them, their caregivers, their family, Father God, if you call them by name.
Yes. We have Mrs. Brevard. Mrs. Brevard. We're praying for her. We're praying for the Stevenson family. We're praying for the Wilborn family, the Hobbs family. We're praying for the Spratlin family. Are there anyone else that you would have on your list?
Yes, for Aaron Clay.
Yes, Pastor. Pastor Robinson?
Yes, sir. Please keep us in your prayer. Got a few doctor's appointments I got to make. Just pray for us.
Amen.
Okay.
So we're adding also Robinson family from out of Tennessee. Anyone else?
Yeah, we have Keisha Tidwell. We prayed for her in the past for operation. She's doing very well, but she says she's having some pain in her right side of her body, so she wants to be on the prayer list again. She said she'll give a praise report after she gets a report back from the doctor.
Amen. Sister Tidwell, we have her on our list. Anyone else?
Yes, I have Terry. He had a surgery about a month and a half ago, and he had another operation that removed part of his lung.
Amen. We have my brother Terry also on our list. Anyone else?
For Linda Taylor, Altamise Bell, for Christine James and Keita Thompson, for Joan Simpson, for the Grinsky family, for Shirlene Perkins, for Dr. Sam McGrath, for Nancy Shaw, we pray, Dave Walker, for the Griffin, Karen Griffin and her family, for Danielle Thomas, John Thomas, Eric Jones, for Rita Jones, for Ruth Thornton's daughter, for Stephanie Berry, for Teresa Saunders' daughter, And for Desi G, we pray for her as well. Is there anyone else? Any other names? Just call them out.
Amen.
The Hobbs sisters.
The Herman family. But you know what? Just the families of the body of Christ, the families of the earth, all the families need prayer. Everyone needs prayer.
The
Herman family. Yeah.
The Herman family, for families that have lost loved ones to COVID-19, either by of virus or because or having lost someone in isolation, we also picked up Lisa as well. Father God, praise you, dear Lord. We praise you, Father God, because you are Jehovah Rapha. You are our healer,
Thank you, Jesus.
Most of the names that we called on, Father God, we're asking, Lord, for healing. And we know, dear Lord, that it's by the stripes of Jesus, Father God, that all the diseases, and Father God, so we submit these people to you, Father God, expecting healing, Father God.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Expecting relief, Father God, expecting speedy recovery,
yes.
Father God. Expecting restoration, dear Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We lift these folks up and ask for healing because you are Jehovah Rapha.
Yes.
We also know, Lord, that you are our provider, dear Lord. And we lift up the families, Father God, that have suffered loss, Father God, financial and tangible loss because of the season of isolation and, Father God, or otherwise, dear Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to provide resources for them, Father God. Come up beside them, Father God. Shore them up. Bring the people out, Father God, that will lift up one another. Cause us, Father God, to remember those, Father God, who are less fortunate than us, Father God. Remind us, dear Lord, that we are blessed to be a blessing, Father God.
Thank
you, Father God, that we will take our word and our deed and our commission as Christians, Father God, not take it lightly, Father God, and go forth to help those, Father God, that need help. Help those, Father God, that are suffering, dear Lord.
Yes.
Help those, Father God, to move forward, dear Lord, and be an encouragement to them as well.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord, wear your banner well, Father God, because you are Jehovah, and that you go out before us, dear Lord. We praise you and we thank you. We look forward to the praise report.
Yes.
And we come against any bad or retaliation from these prayers in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We're going to mute all these mics. I am hearing every noises in the background. So the only one mic that I will not unmute is the speaker for this evening. Amen. So all of the everyone will be muted, and I am doing that.
If you want to speak, all you have to do is hit one, and we'll open you up. So as you come on, if there's something you want to say, and your mic is not muted, just hit one, and we'll open the mics up.
Amen. And now we move all the way into Princeton, West Virginia, a special place for me. Bishop Storrs, are you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I am blessed. Good to hear your voice, my brother.
Good to be here. Thank you again for the opportunity. It's just a blessing. I tell you, when I got the message that you sent, it was an honor to be here. And it just so happened that how God moves, I would say the Spirit moves, is kind of ironic. But I believe it's a God-sent moment. I guess I'll tell you, I was sitting at the house a couple of weeks ago and sitting watching TV, and my glasses broke. So I had to repair my glasses temporarily until I could get to the optometrist. And when I got there, he had him to repair, fix my glasses, gave me a new pair and put them in there. It took me to be about an hour. So I came back in an hour and tried them on. I said, everything is well. Everything looks good. He said, okay, that's good. He said, now you can see 2020 again. And it just hit me in 2020, this year, 2020. And boy, are we dealing with a lot of things this year. I mean, we have the West Coast is on fire and the East Coast is flooding, and we're dealing with a pandemic. We're dealing with all kinds of things. And 2020, you see, the vision is brings clarity. And I think in this year, there's been things that have been plaguing us for a long period of time. It's actually coming into clarity with the pandemic and all these type things. It brings everything into clarity. We see from science that the pandemic is hitting everybody, young, old, everyone, but it's especially impacting people of color due to pre-existing conditions, the conditions that we have living in, whatever that they might be, shows that there's a disparity. You got a young generation of all colors protesting. It's just a lot of things going on simultaneously. And I honestly believe that this is a moment of shaking, a season of shaking that we're in to bring some clarity to what's actually happening so we can bring back or transition into the next level or the next place that God wants us to be. And I shared something with our church a couple of while back, and I thought I would be able to share it with you if you wouldn't mind just for a moment. It was a commentary that Paul Harvey spoke. You might have heard it before, back in April of 1965. And he was looking ahead at how everything was happening and things were going, a harbinger, so to speak, of how things were going. And he made an assessment that if he was the devil, and he pinned down and jotted and broadcasted it in 1964, and then it went on. But it's extremely relevant for even right now. It's kind of mind-boggling to hear it. And I'll give you just a little bit of it. It says, if I were the prince of darkness, I would want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I would have a third of its real estate, four-fifths of its population. But I would not be happy until I seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I would set about however necessary to take over the United States. I would subvert the churches, and I would begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please, do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible is a myth. I would convince the children that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And to the old, I would teach them to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. Then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its own turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I would have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellect, but neglect to discipline emotions. I'd tell teachers, let those students run wild. And before you knew it, you'd have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. With a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing and judges promoting pornography. Soon, I would evict God from the courthouse and the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. In his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and defy science. I'd lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls in church money. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who had and give to those who wanted until I killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what do you bet? I could get all the states to promote gambling as a way to get rich. I'd convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, and what you see on television is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public and lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I was the devil, I would just keep doing what he's doing. This was in 1965, and yet right now today, we see all of those things happening and occurring. And so I was looking at the Bible, I was reading the Bible, and the Bible in the book of Proverbs says, a false balance, Proverbs chapter 11, actually, verse 1, says a false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. And if we could track the pattern of ancient Israel, we could see the process of us as a people today. And again, I want to say a disclaimer. I'm not promoting any political or down in any political affiliation or anything. I'm just speaking from the lens of the Bible, from the climate that we're in. And at that time, ancient Israel would deal with issues. They would sin, they would repent. They would sin, they would repent. During the time of the judges, they created judges that actually had judges that would actually did what they wanted to do for themselves. They would accept bribes. They did all these types of things. The poor suffered and the rich got richer. They would have two sets of weights, so to speak, is what how this came about. Two sets of weights. One set of weight they would have when they would buy, the other set of weights they would have when they would sell. When they would buy something, they would use the weights that was less weighty so they would get it for less. When they would sell something, they would use another set of scales that was heavier, and so that you could charge more. And so it was an unjust. And so God said there's an unjust balance. I believe that we're living in a time right now where you have the issues with the judges, all kinds of things that's happened. And 2020 is coming in much clarity that we've been dealing with a lot of unjust weights, and it's an abomination to the Lord. And we're reaping those benefits, so to speak, or reaping what we have sown to some degree. But God has given us an opportunity. Our time is a shaking period. I believe he's given us a time to actually get our senses, or collectively get our senses together and actually see what's happened. We are driven and motivated. I hear a lot of people talk to me, and different times people have told me, yes, I'm going to believe God for this. I'm going to believe God out of this COVID. I'm going to believe God out of this situation. I'm going to believe God for this. And it's good that we believe God, and I do believe God. But the problem that I have with that is that we always have to make sure that we are aware that you can't believe your way out of something that you behaved your way into. And if we behave our way into a certain way, but without changing our attitude, then it's difficult to believe our way out of it, because God's not going to give us the opportunity to change direction until we change the perception, our perspective, or how we look at things. So we're dealing with a false balance. I see people right now, this country is so divided from color, from Democrats to Republicans, the independents, and there is a spirit, a seducing spirit that maneuvers and operates. And brothers and sisters, that spirit moves and manipulates and drives and whispers, and it gets us to get off moral equilibrium, off balance, so to speak. And we are now struggling with this dilemma of who are we affiliated with, more so than having a biblical interpretation of what's actually going on. And so this country is now struggling with the issues or the benefits of what we so choose. We have taken God out of everything. He's been so removed from everything. And then COVID that we're dealing with. My kids have been out of school since March, and they're actually doing school now, but we're doing virtual school. So we're having a form of social distancing. That's the way that we have to do. We wear masks. We do the things that they require us to do in our state. We've dealt with different issues, and just in this small community, there's COVID here also. It's just around the world. Many people tell me lots of times, I've heard it say times before, you don't necessarily need to have to wear a mask if you trust God and this and that. I understand that, but I trust God also when I drive a car, but I still put on my seatbelt. I trust God that's going to heal me, but if there's an aspirin or a cough syrup or something that helps medicinal, I'll do that too. It's not an issue of trusting God, but I'm going to operate with faith and not fear, but I'm also going to operate with cautiousness and not careless and recklessness, because we're dealing with whomever's in power, whatever side you're on, whatever the scales might look, this is the situation that we're dealing with. This is the time that we're in right now. And I was looking at that. This goes all the way through the book of Judges, even to the book of Chronicles. And I looked at Chronicles when we had the social distancing and we had to stay away in our churches. I have not had church service for a while, because my wife and I are essential workers, and I wouldn't want to be a carrier of anything and just potentially put anyone in harm's way. So I don't have those services here for a while, and we'll begin that process back up. But I think that the social distance also, if we're not careful, it's a way that the Bible says that in the last days we'll be haughty, we'll be high-minded, we'll be boasters, lovers of ourselves. When you isolate yourself and you insulate yourself with just you, your ideologies, your thinking, you have a tendency not to be that concerned about your fellow man or your brother or your sister. So we have to be careful, in those areas. And I look at that, I send the scripture to Chronicles and First Chronicles, when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back, and he was trying to bring it back on, and Uzzah reached out his hand as it was going back. Uzzah reached out his hand and touched it, and God smote him. The Bible says the anger of the Lord kindled, and he smote Uzzah. And Uzzah means her strength. And I wonder, is America in her strength? Have we mishandled how we take care of? Have we mishandled how we are actually approaching God, how we look at this? Because lots of times, depending on the balance of power, we can manipulate scripture to identify with how we believe, even if it's not biblically correct are hermeneutically or hermeneutically correct. We can twist it to fit our tailor made to us, so to speak. And I don't think God is pleased with that. And so when David was bringing the ark and he rested, the Bible said it rested in Obed-Edom, in the place in Obed-Edom. And the Bible said his house was blessed. And for 3 months or 90 days, his house was blessed. And he was blessed going in. And so David saw that, and he wanted the ark. We're living in a time, but I believe, I honestly, truly believe, as God led me to this scripture, that these next 3 months for us as a people, as America, is going to be critical. It's going to be crucial. Many times we come to church to get God, but we don't take God back to our homes. And I think that God wants us to actually have him in the house. So when we do get back together, there will be so much of him around that where two or three are gathered, touching and agreeing, there he is in the midst. Oftentimes we come to church, we get God for an hour, 2 hours, however you preach, and we go. And we leave God right there at Sunday service, wherever that place is identified. But we don't speak that much of him around the round table at the house, or, you know, this place or that place. And I think that we as a people need to be as concerned about is God in our house as just as concerned as who's in the White House. Because at the end of the day, God is still in control of all things, and he's going to see everything through, and we'll be blessed all throughout the process. Now, when this process takes place, God's going to bless us. But also in this season, there's a time that the Bible says that when David came back with the Ark of the Covenant, after he did things the right way, there's a 2020, we can have clarity now, that God can allow us to see things the way we need to, deal with things the way we need to, and this false balance that we're dealing with. I hear a lot of people talk about this brutality of this person or the police in this area, you know, bad people here, there, whatever. But it begins with the policies and the systems. You can't have bad people operating in a certain way if the policies will not warrant some certain things. The balance of power, who's ever in power, they tip the scales a certain way. God's not pleased with that. And so now we all need to be on this, looking at everybody as equal. And so this is why we're dealing with what we're dealing with, what we're seeing now, what we're visualizing now, protesting in the streets and all kinds of things happening. But when David brings the Ark of the Covenant back, goes on into the next couple of chapters, the Bible says Michael is which is his wife, but the Bible says Michael, Saul's daughter. The Bible calls her Michael, Saul's daughter, looked out of a window and saw David, and she despised him in her heart. She did not call, the Bible did not call her David's wife, but identified her with the thing that was against David. So there's people that's close to you that are identified with the thing that's against you that you don't even know it, but in their heart they despise. So there's people, their attitudes will disqualify them for going with you. I tell some people that I know close to me, there's people that's close to us now, but their attitude, the despise in the heart, their attitudes will disqualify them from going with us in this next place we go. So not only will this be a big change, but there's going to be a shakeup, a shaking and all around. I believe God is bringing that to pass. And at this time, this is what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a season of deceit and unjust, I believe, is the balance of deceit. And it's hard to trust the system when the balances in the scales is unjust, because now nobody trusts anything. So all we have to do now is lean more and depend more and more on God and to get him. Not that we don't need him or did not need him all the more before, but we need him now more than ever, because that's who's going to see us through. Regardless of how chaotic this world is, I still believe God is totally in control. He knows what he's doing, but he is bringing us with this 2020, this clarity. So the 2021, if we're blessed, we'll be able to be seeing a change, a systemic change, a systems change. And then we, our attitudes and our mindsets and our people will change. And then we can be like David and dance like we've never danced before.
Amen.
I don't know about on your end, but do you see, it seems like to me, and I don't know as y'all open it up, it seems like to me that more people now, I've looked at more people now, they're less concerned about others. And I have to watch myself also. More people now are, because we're all flawed to some degree, more people now are less concerned about anyone else other than themselves. And they're more focused on themselves, whomever they are affiliated with, whatever it might be, they're focused on what's in it for me. And this is the time to win. And if we're not careful, it's what the Bible says, we'll be led away by seducing spirits, these spirits that seduce us into believing, because they are powers and principalities. They're still in operation, and they operate through politics and through all kinds of systems of the world, and they will manipulate it and disguise themselves as angels of light, so to speak. And if we're not careful, we will do totally what we know is not morally right, but only because we're affiliated with one certain thing, because we believe that the scales is tipped in our favor or vice versa. And I think that God is not pleased with that at all. And so that's the change that I believe that we're looking at, this 2020 bringing into the light everything that's happening. It's going to get worse to some degree, but it's going to be blessed even in the midst of, because God's with us.
Amen. Bishop, can I just get in?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Man, I am so glad to hear you mention about our attitudes.
Right.
As I was preaching and teaching on last Sunday, I talked about the 10 lepers in Luke, and I told the people that your gratitude is in your attitude. And you said just what I said, that we have to change our attitudes. Attitudes have to be changed, and I was so blessed to hear you say that, talk about the attitude of the people. So, thanks for that. Well, that confirmation.
Amen. You know, I was just, was brief on that, but to go just a bit more, here's David's wife looking out of a window. She did not participate, but yet she was inside of her heart hating on him, so to speak, if I could use that phrase, just hating on him, but did not take the time to try to figure out why he was dancing and ecstatic the way that he was, because the Bible said immediately she was despised him in her heart. There are people that's close to us right now that will not take the time to figure out why we feel a certain way or why we this way. They've already adjusted their attitude, as you say, to a particular way, because they're all into self.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are consumed with self, you can't see beyond I and me. And so,
that's right.
And when that happens, they don't care about you. And so that's
right.
And if we're not careful, that bitterness will bleed on us, and then we'll become that Christian that becomes this way. That we'll be angry. And I don't want to be angry. You know, I strive every day to try to do this. But this when you are surrounded by a plethora of chaos and confusion, sometimes you don't have a break. There's nothing to break for. And then when you're surrounded by that, there's no one else that's there to help support. But the people that you would think that's close to you are despising you in their heart, because they don't want to celebrate what's going on with you, because they're dealing with an unjust balance.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. You are crushing me with that. You're hitting all around my life situation right now.
If I notice that the Bible does not really mention her anymore after that, because see, there's people that God will reveal to you that was close to you, but deep down inside didn't really like you. Their actions will show later. Don't go chasing them down, because they're not qualified to go to the next level. There are people in your life that are like scaffolds. They're only there when the building needs to be erected. And once the building is erected, they're gone. So celebrate where they've been, but praise God to where you're going.
Wow.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen.
That is so good. And that is what's happening in my life. My God.
That's tight right there.
Lord, that is tight.
Come on. And did I tell you something, Brother Bishop? You had me, because sometimes I like to tell a story when I preach. And praise God, he used you to give me another one, how you talk about how you went to the eye doctor. And then you turned around, how he said that you could see 2020. And I always was trying to work on something about 2020. You hit on something. now you can see 2020 to expose, because the year of 2020 is exposing people for who they truly are.
Right.
So the year of 2020
yes,
is giving them 2020 vision about themselves. And I want to thank God
right.
for using you for depositing that in my spirit.
Amen.
People
so
are seeing who they truly are in 2020 by you just going to the eye doctor. You gave me some. May I use that? I want your permission.
Oh, you can go, Sarah. Hey, that's from the Holy Spirit. As you have permission to use that. And here's even more. 2020 means I can see clearly what's at least 20 yards away, meaning that God is going to give me a discerning spirit and you a discerning spirit that we'll see people approaching before they even get close to us to now try to work on us.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm stealing it. It's gone already.
That's good.
Amen.
Praise God, that's good.
This is so good. Oh, my God. You know, I'm on Call Unto Me Ministries. This is Minister Edna. I'm on call. It's good to hear you, Bishop. I hope to hear you again. Come back. But Pastor Bennett came in the same vein that you're coming in tonight. And as you were speaking, I said, oh, my God, Lord, you want the people to know. You know, because God gives it to this one, and he'll give that same revelation to another, and it all coincides. And I like how you said, we got to protect the word. Don't add nothing to the word, but we got to protect the word now. I mean, the word doesn't mean protecting, but I mean in us, you know, so nothing will infiltrate what's in us. You know, like, you said so.
Right, here's the thing, even when we go to that, was as far as protecting the word, if I could go with this, when he reached out his hand, here's the thing, he thought that he was doing a service.
Yeah.
But he was actually mishandling. How many times in the church people, whether they believe it or not, are preaching separation, thinking that they're doing God a service. And then before we know it, we now are inundated with that spirit, that seducing spirit that we don't even know because it disguises itself as an angel of light. I believe, brothers and sisters, that at this time that we're not only going to find I would say the word, if I could use the word, was fake and was hypocritical out in the world, but you're going to find them in the pulpits, in the pews, and maybe God has allowed COVID to now cleanse the house of God so that the people of God can get in contact with him, so then when we come together, we can now actually celebrate.
You know, this is powerful tonight. You know, really, as you spoke to us, you spoke not only revelation, but clarity to us as to what was going on. I like how you came out with that 1965, that 1965 word that came, if I was.
I've heard that before.
I'm tongue-tied right now because you know what? You said a lot here today. I was supposed to be somewhere else. I'm glad I'm right here in New Beginnings Ministry, right here. Because
made
this
plane
word
tonight,
right now, oh my God!
You know, Bishop,
you made a plane tonight.
I've heard that Paul Harvey comment before. I think I've used it.
Yeah. But when we look at that today, when I saw that, I was like, that's amazing.
It's happening now.
This is today. This is right today.
Yeah.
And so it goes to say that the Bible says that there's nothing new under the sun. To everything, there's a season. What has will be. Yeah. And so if we can look at this, things are cyclic. It repeats itself. If we're not careful, we can look at ancient Israel and see the dilemma that they put themselves in. That's why, Pastor, we thank God for you, for the radio show, for the platform, because now you are a voice in the wilderness, because this world needs clarity. And so you become the voice in the wilderness. And it's not going to be ironic that the enemy will try to fight against that, because he wants to silence the voice of the people of God.
And I feel as though we need to look at things through the lenses of God's word. Prophecy is being fulfilled right now, and we have to understand that God is talking to us, and he wants us to get our house in order. People keep talking about the election, in November. God might be here before the rapture might take place before November. So we get focused so much on what's going around, you know, what's happening right now. But we have to keep focused on what the Word of God is telling us to do right now. And God is talking to us. He has talked to us. He talked to us on 9/11. But we ignored. Everybody came together. It was unity. Then the giant went back to sleep. So we have to wake up and just understand what God is telling us through his word, because prophecy is being fulfilled.
Exactly right.
Look at Matthew 24 and Luke 21. It tells you about the latter days, and these things are more intense now than it was years ago. So we got to get, we have to start uniting together as Christians and start doing God's work.
Right.
We want to do things according to his will and not man's will.
Yes,
sir. You made a statement. You said something that in 9/11, which is 9/11, that everybody came together. And if you look and you read in the book of Jeremiah, all the way through the chapters, and about the 52nd chapter or so of Jeremiah, when Nebuchadnezzar comes up on the scene, the Bible says 19 years later, then he comes in and he burns Jerusalem. If you can take 2020 and 2000 right there and subtract it, you have 19 years. Where does time, prophetic time, as it's cyclic through the lens of ancient Israel, that we're at a time right now where I believe that God shakes and then he gives us a moment to repent. But we're falling further away from him because we're leaning more on what the government will do, more so than the kingdom of God, which controls this and that. And I'm not saying anything is wrong with that. I'm not discrediting anything at all, because you know I hear lots of people talk about, well, you know, 45, that's God's man. Well, 44, 43, 42, 41, all of them were God's men to some degree, because God used them all. You know what I'm saying? To some degree, he uses them all. God just didn't go to sleep and then just happened to bring one of them on the scene. So we have to make sure that we have that type of clarity. But I think that the people of God need not just to be silent. We have to speak out and let the world know that God is in control. But we have to do our part also.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Bishop, I was in a sort of a debate. I had put a post on Facebook concerning God being in control, and this guy that I know, that he says he's a preacher. I don't know, but he says he is a minister of God. But he argued me up and down, and that's another confirmation that you made for me, because he argued me up and down that God was not in control. And I had to really humbly let him know that, you know, if that's what you believe, I don't want you preaching in my church. if you believe that God is not in control, then, you know, I don't know who you are, bro. I'm sorry. But again, thank you for that confirmation.
Amen. You know, even with that, mm-hmm. as we talk about that in the book of Romans, the Bible says that God turned them over to a reprobate mind. He turned them over to themselves, but he was still in control. Right. He even though the devil is the prince of darkness, God's still the CEO of this universe, and so he's always going to be in control. But we have to make sure that he gives us the mind of Christ, that we now can actually be in control of the things that he gives us to be stewards over. Watch this. If you go real quickly, if I could, I know I'm probably going off, but as something that you just brought out. In the book of Genesis, Noah's best intention was to do right. But if you look in Genesis chapter 8, when they come out of the ark, and God tells him, when he comes out the ark, God tells Noah, he says, I want you, your wife, your sons, and your sons' wives to come out. And then so many verses down, when Noah comes out, his sons come out, then his wife, and then his son's wife. Noah changed the order of God, which, brothers and sisters, could be, however simple you might want to look at it, the beginning of an unjust class system where you put men ahead of women, so to speak, and not even knowing it, and that wasn't God's order of design. He wanted the unit, the family, to come together this way and that way. And then even more, back in Genesis, when God says he created the earth, and he did not cause rain to come upon the earth. The Bible says God did not cause rain to come upon the earth because there was no man to till the ground. When he put man in place, then the rain came. Man's responsibility, our responsibility is to manage. And when we don't manage or mismanage or manage things under an unjust balance, God doesn't send rain. And so maybe we're not having a cure for this, and maybe we're not having a cure for that because we're not managing things properly.
That's profound right there.
You got a lot of nuggets.
Come on now, you're coming with it, preacher.
What are we not managing right?
It's coming with it, preacher.
I think that when we say managing right, I think that that is the good steward, whatever that he makes you a steward of, and whatever that might be. You know, he wouldn't want me to manage something that I don't have a vested interest in, or I don't have a voice to actually change. But if I'm just to be a manager, if I'm just to manage, if I'm to be a good husband, then I'm supposed to manage the way I operate this way. If he gives me a job that I'm only making minimum wage, I'm supposed to manage that. Lots of times we spend and do what we want and beg God for what we need. And in all actuality, we need to make sure that we're not using God, because then he becomes nothing but more than just a means of making ends meet. And I think that God wants to be more than that. He doesn't want to be the God in our life. He wants to be the God of our life. And a lot of times we just keep him God in our life.
Wow.
There you go, Bishop.
This is so good.
You dropping some nuggets, boy. You dropping some nuggets. I'm telling you.
You ain't playing with tonight. Come on.
Lord, thank you, Jesus.
You ain't playing with tonight.
Oh, my God.
People ain't tuning in today. They going to miss something. Well, they didn't miss something.
Oh,
they get on
the
archive.
The replay, sir.
Come on now. That's right.
That's why. Hey, listen, church. That's why he's bishop.
No.
Bishop. God bless you and your wife. And you know what? Your church, too, because Dr. John, Dr. Suzanne, look like we're going to West Virginia.
Amen. I think God for the opportunity.
When it's time. Yeah. Wow, this is so good.
I want to make sure.
Yes,
are there anyone? Is there anyone? We have a lot of numbers on here. Is there anyone that has a question or something that you would like to give? Please, ma'am, please, sir. Is there anyone? All the mics are open. All we have to do is talk.
Come on, y'all. This is some good stuff.
They eating it up and digesting. They're going to try to live it out. He done put some food on the table today.
You know what? I listen to people talk, and I have friends that are Democrats, and they said to me, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't vote for a Republican. Then I hear the Republican friends of mine that say, if you're a Christian, you wouldn't vote for the Democrats. And I said to myself, you know what? I'm an independent person. And I was listening to Tony Evans, and his talk is the same as mine. You have to pray about the situation, because both sides, to me, got evil on it. Okay? Both sides is evil. So you have to talk to the Lord and let him work within your heart. And like Tony Evans said, you have to look at the issues, too. And what is closer to God's word? So I don't know. Like I say, I'm praying about it. I don't know, but I don't put my trust into man anyway, because the final thing is going to be God's will. So if it's God's will, whatever he puts in, are you going to be angry with God? Or are you going
right.
to accept what God has done, because that was his will and his purpose to do whatever he wants, because he always will win.
Right.
Say,
if I could say something.
We have a friend that's a pastor, Pastor Tossie Wiley, and he says, I want to quote him, I'm not quoting him right, but I have the essence of it, that as Christians, we should not be worried about the donkey or the
donkey. You're right.
Because I'm the lamb. We're supposed to be following the lamb, not the donkey or the elk.
Right. If I could just add that, as a Christian, we do have conservative values. We're supposed to believe and we ascribe to conservative values, because that's a biblical understanding of what we stand for, what we represent. But at the same time, you also have to make sure that you be aware. That's why you need a discerning spirit to be aware, because there are some times where people will play on your values because they have a vested interest in the scales being tipped in their favor. And so if we're not careful, we will give over our mind to an affiliation more so than ascribing it to the discerning that God gives us. And I say it in a very simple form, in a real simple form, just to make light of the whole situation. Even a dumpster gets a steak every now and again. So both sides are good and both sides are bad. It does not really matter. But we have to make sure that we are doing what is morally right, and we can see the climate and see the things. And here's what we do know. We don't put our trust in man, but we trust that whomever God allows to come into the White House, whether we vote, whatever it might be, whoever he allows to come into the White House, that he becomes the governor, that they can't exceed beyond what he so allows. If he told the oceans that they can't overstep the bounds, then we can't fear that whoever's in there is going to overstep. But we also want to make sure that it's going to be feasible for us to step in order the way God has for us to go, so we can actually become move and maneuver in this world, in this society. So it's nothing wrong with being this or being that. We just have to discern how it is. Like I said early on, I'm not ascribing to one or the other, but I'm telling you that you're dealing with a political spirit, whether it's independent, Republican, Democrat, whatever, and they will seduce based on however the scales is tipped in their favor or not. We have to look at what's going to be beneficial for us in the long run, and not only just for us, but for my children, so to speak. Because watch this.
Right.
You have a judge now that is going to be filled, brothers and sisters, that we would want conservative values, but will those conservative values remove a certain type of insurance that will help benefit us later on? Because there are 6 million people who's been diagnosed with COVID, which will become a pre-existing condition that years later might not qualify for insurance purposes, depending on who becomes in the Supreme Court. These things we have to look at. I mean, I don't want to go political, but I'm just looking at,
those things that we're aware of. That's good. Well, God ordained the government. Someone was speaking.
We didn't hear what you said, please.
Okay, I was going to say God ordained the government. So what I'm trying to say is whoever he allows in there, we just have to trust in God, because we have to pray for our leaders. He said pray for those in government, and we have to do that, whether they're good or bad. If you look at the book of Kings, you had bad kings, you had good kings, but most of them were bad. But we have to pray for our leaders, regardless of who is in. We still have to pray for them, that God would change their hearts, or God would just turn them their hearts into whatever God has for them to do. God is going to make sure they do it. He might be easy, but God can change the heart of a wicked king.
He does. He does.
And like Bishop said before, And like Bishop said before, it doesn't matter about 45, 44, 43, God is yet in control of everything. See, we don't fear like the world. Our hope and our trust and our confidence is in the God that knows all, sees all, and can, you know, with a word, he can...
In control of all.
You can just... oh, Lord.
Right, yes, he's in control. I believe God is in control. I know that God is in control of all things.
But
he gives us, wisdom to manage and to operate properly in this earth. So that's why we have to be aware of the climate that we're in, educate ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lots of times I don't want to get out there. Lots of times I've heard before people say, well, you don't want to bring in this. I try to be relevant to what's actually happening in the day, to what's going on. You know, I wake up in the morning to know if it's going to rain, if I need to prepare for rain or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't be so insulated that I isolate myself from what's actually happening in the world. But God wants me to be aware of what's happening to the world. And here's what he says. When you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And so if something is not going to benefit me, but it's going to be detrimental to the least of them, do I not have an obligation as a Christian to look out for my brother man and this way and that way? So does that help turn the way that I should look at certain things, you know, whatever it might be? Lots of times we're so concerned about how does it affect me personally, but how does it affect my brother man? How will it affect my community? How does it affect my nation? How does it affect this? We see all of this uproar and protest in all of the world, and all of a sudden after that one particular individual, I think the George Floyd case, we saw everybody across the whole world come together, unified, or come together, because it wasn't just about the person. It was about when you do it to one, you do it to all. And we have to look at it from that perspective. What is going to be beneficial for all of us, even if it does not impact me personally? How would it be better for this group of people or that individual or this community or this way? And this is how we make our decisions. So, yes, we do. God is in control, but he also wants us to do our part.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yes. Amen.
God bless you. Know, Bishop, you talked about you hit on the word wisdom, and when you start talking about wisdom, it took me to the Serenity Prayer when it says that God grant us the serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, the courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that's what this is all about. It's all about wisdom. And we got to use, we got to use what God has given us, which is the spirit of discernment. And we have to use that to make decisions on what we're going to do, or how we're going to vote, so to speak, or who we're going to choose to go along with. You have to have a discerning spirit, I believe, in these days and times.
Right.
Well, you have to ask the Lord to help you. You have that discerning spirit. Okay.
Amen. This is Thoris. Definitely,
yes,
you
sir.
Have blessed us this evening. I really, really appreciate, you know, how you broke it down with the Proverbs and just breaking it down. For me, as we come to a close, I like the way that you outline the isolation piece because of where we are with this COVID-19. And isolation causes division. And then men become lovers of their own selves simply because they're isolated. God wants us to unite and be together and to be able to fellowship. In the isolation, we're moving away from what God requires us to do. It creates division. So, you know, I like that. You know, are we looking out for our community when things are happening? How it affects us, but are we looking at how it affects our community? How does it affect our brother man, those that are out there? Because if it's affecting them, eventually it's going to affect me, you know. And so I like the way you broke that down, you know, in terms of and understanding that. We do thank you so much. Yep, a great word. And again, you know, I'm happy because of the idea of being from West Virginia. We're going to be with Bishop Palmer next week, who is also hailed from West Virginia, Princeton, West Virginia also. So we're going back to back to my hometown. So I'm looking forward to that. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. For those of you that tuned in, thank you so much for the conversation, a wonderful conversation. Those of you that did not share, I pray that you would fed this evening. Amen. Not milk. But you was that you received the meat, amen. Because this was definitely a good way to sit at the table, and we were fed well. So I hope that you are full. I know that I am. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Did y'all hear that?
Face the dawn.